Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
From the world's first officially recognized sim racing group, it's the Tora Radio Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Tora Radio Show here on radiolemans.com. Hashtag RS1. Another month has gone by in the beautiful world of esports racing. The big, beautiful world of esports racing. I sound like the 45th, don't I? I'm going to have to stop that. I'm joined as ever by the American, Mr. Ben Williams.
I'm the American now?
Yeah, stuff. Well, yeah, but you'll understand why when I introduced. And the Brit who wishes to be the American...
Mr.
Jordan Groves. Although bear in mind how much you like to be upside down, perhaps you should be Australian. It should be what you're gunning for.
Oh God!
No, I'm not even going to attempt an Australian accent.
Please
don't. Right. Teammates with far too many Aussies. I can't.
Yeah.
Deal with
that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've heard his Welsh accent. It's not very Welsh. So there we have it.
It turned strangely not Welsh by the end of it, and it just yeah. Moving right along.
Not my finest moment.
We're not going to touch that one with the barge pole. On that note, congratulations to Wales for beating England last weekend in the Six Nations. Very good. Hooray. Because for those who know, that we do have a certain rugby fan base developing.
And as the American, I have nothing to comment on.
Oh, dear. For a change.
You can congratulate the Patriots on winning the Super Bowl. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, wait. No, nobody needs to hear that.
No.
Yeah, especially considering what else happened with the Patriots last week. Let's not go over that.
Okay. Have they deflated a ball again?
No. There was something else that I don't think I can really talk about on there.
Okay.
We'll come to that after the show. Anyway.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, the things we talk about. Okay. Anyway. Back to the sim racing news.
Yes, welcome to the Tora Radio Show, where we do occasionally talk about sim racing news.
Okay. Everybody drink, he said it.
Right, we have actually got some quite big Tora and based announcements, which we're going to crack straight on with, because we have got quite a lot to fit in the show as per usual. Ben, a brand new shiny look for the Online Racing Association.
Yes, it's been a couple of years since we have done a new update to all of our form, media, and our logo in general. So we decided it was about time to do it. And there's a couple other things that are coming up later in the show that we'll talk about where it just kind of made sense to do it now. This has been something we've been working on the last couple of months, and we didn't really have it ready to launch at the beginning of the year. So we figured that another announcement of another official series, hashtag teaser. That would be a good way to launch into the new logo. The new logo we've also teased, Matt actually teased not very well. Just pasted it on our Twitter and Instagram pages throughout last week. So as you can see, it's a little bit more easier to make in the Forza livery editor, so that it doesn't involve as many tricky curves. It's much more block shaped, and I think it's a really nice modern look, and it's a natural progression of the Toro logos that have been come before it.
Yes, absolutely, and massive thank you to everyone behind the scenes for working on that. It is, like as you say, it's a very cool update on what we hope is becoming an iconic imagery for esports racing.
Or just community racing in general.
Exactly. And of course, you will also see coming online in the not too distant future some updates and changes, therefore, to the website, to the forums, and to our social media channels. So keep your eyes peeled for those. We also have, Ben, a new and funky URL.
Yes, we do. if you go to racetour.com, which is so much easier to say than the online racing association.com, you will find that you will automatically be redirected to the Toro website. From there, you can go to the forums in its typical way. None of those URLs have changed. It's just a much shorter URL that we can call out and use in media than the full, what is that, like?
Essay.
Yeah, what's called essay? Essay to go for. Than the full essay that is our typical URL.
Yes, it does also make the reduced version when it appears on tags in your on your popular web browser a little bit more tasteful, because it does cut off the association a little bit, and it's not
anyway. So be sure to look out for that. We will have the logos available actually on my share front starting later this evening, so when you're hearing this live, probably in about 5 hours or so. So be sure to look out for that.
Absolutely. How cool is that? And again, massive thank you to everyone behind the scenes for getting involved. Now, the news you've all been waiting for. The worst kept secret in recent Toro history.
Yes.
Sebring is coming.
Sebring is happening, yes. Sebring is always going to happen. We've been doing this the last couple of years, so it should be no surprise to anyone that we are now having another Sebring 12-hour this year. Mm. However, keeping with the massive success that was Daytona, going back to a later, much earlier car list, we're actually going further back in time now to the 1960s to use the cars from that era of racing. So we are going to be having two different classes in this. What we've been referring to the proto class, which is the 1967 Ferrari 330 P4, the 1966 Ford GT40 Mark II Le Mans, the 1969 Lola T7 Mark IIIB, and the 1971 Porsche 917-20. Now, I know the 917 doesn't exactly belong with the other three, but there was a 917 that did race with those three. This is just a different version of it. Mm. And for those wondering about the 906, wait for it. In the GT class, we have a pretty long list for these cars. We have the 1968 Alfa Romeo 33 Stradale, the 1965 Alfa Romeo Giulia TZ2, the 1960 Aston Martin DB4 GT Zagato, the 1967 Chevrolet Corvette Stingray 427, the 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO, the 1963 Ferrari 250 LM, the 1969 Ferrari Dino 246 GT, the 1961 Jaguar E-Type, the 1967 Nissan R3802, the 1964 Porsche 94 Carrera GTS, the 1966 Porsche 906 Carrera 6, and the 1965 Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. So, very long list of the cars. So, as you can see, we have gone, again, with a much more vintage car list than what we've been using in the past. Mm-hmm. We will be running this not as like a full-blown vintage endurance. It's much more like a typical Toro endurance with vintage cars. So you'll be able to use what assists you want. You'll be able to use what driving line you want. You'll be able to paint your cars in any way, minus a number ball, which I will have updated probably before the weekend. And we'll also have other Toro places where the Toro logo has to be. But beyond that, you're welcome to paint your cars in any way you want. That's about it. Sebring kind of speaks for itself. I'm very excited for this race. Looking at the times between all the GTs and the proto field's going to be very close. And GT, there's such a wide variety of cars in there that pretty much anything you pick there, you're going to have fun with.
And someone who we know who gets equally excited about Sebring is Mr. Lewis Satterley, who should be on the line.
I just realized I'm waving, and you all can't see me anyway, so I've just been sitting here making myself look like an idiot.
As per usual. So,
I'll get,
Lewis,
I'll get you back for that one day.
I'm sure you will. You're a very big Sebring fan. What does this car list kind of mean to you going back this far in time?
Well, considering I wasn't alive back then, but I wish I was, it just speaks of the days of build as big of an engine as you can, and we're going to go race it. And just wrap it up all nice and neat to where the car looks pretty, give the car a personality with its own unique shape. Aerodynamics was a thing, but it went to the wayside to how cars looked at the time. And to me, it was just, they say it wasn't the golden era of racing, but to me that was, when it came to design of cars, the sound of cars, the just everything about racing in general. Then, or not to mention, it was incredibly unsafe as it was back then. A whole new, or not really new, but an aspect of danger that really surrounded that era of racing, to where it was more like this was a man sport.
Yeah. I'm really excited to see the battles, in both classes, to be honest, because I mean, we haven't really had a sizable classic event with cars of these age, of this age. I think seeing the Ferrari P4 and the GT40 going head to head at Sebring is going to be very, very special.
Yeah, the Ferrari is much of the four that we have in that class. The Ferrari is probably the best middle of the road car. The Ford is pretty much just going to be the fastest thing in a straight line, and the Porsche is going to be the handling car, and the Lola is probably going to occupy the same area as the Ferrari as far as like handling and top speed is going to be concerned. And kind of what I said earlier, the GT class is all over the place. The Shelby Cobra is a screamer in the straight line. The 906 will pretty much out-corner anything on the track. The Chevrolet Corvette just sounds amazing whenever you're driving it in this spec. And the Aston Martin will hilariously actually lift a tire in some of these corners.
Oh, goodness me. I think the final turn at Sebring is going to be very interesting for some of these
cars. It is.
I found my car.
Towards the end of the, towards the end of the stint. Very, very, very exciting to see this race coming on.
Yeah. For more information about sign-ups, stints, how you're going to race this thing, be sure to go check out the forums.
And, of course, that fabled race date is, Ben?
That fabled race date is March 23rd. Again, the worst kept secret in Toro history, because if you looked at all the calendars that we had released, like with production sedan and task car, there were only two Saturdays where there weren't things scheduled in March. One was the 16th, one's the 23rd, and obviously we aren't going to race on the 16th because that's the real Sebring. And frankly, I'll be watching the race, not I'll be watching Sebring, not doing a race.
That happened to you too, Ben.
Yeah.
With our good friends at IMSA Radio covering the full Sebring weekend, both the IMSA and the World Endurance Championship events that weekend. Then the weekend after, of course, you'll be able to follow our race. Hopefully we should have streams up for that, I suspect. I'll tell you what else, guys, I really liked about the move to classic stuff for these events. We had well over 250 drivers turn up for Daytona, which for a classic event, I mean, that beats everything we've ever done classic wise. I can honestly say, what would be really cool is if we can top that.
Well, Daytona pretty much topped any other endurance that we've done in a while. We had pretty much three full lobbies going the entirety of the 24 hours. Le Mans was only about 220 drivers, I think, last year. Something along those lines. So the endurances is pretty much the pinnacle of what Toro racing is. It's just because we seem to be the only community website on Forza that actually tries to do something this crazy. And frankly, we been the longest running, one of the longest running, if not the longest running, Forza community site out there. So I definitely think that the Endurances is definitely what brings people to Torah the most often, definitely for these large events is where we see our biggest numbers.
And as we do like to say, Torah is the home of sports car esports racing. Got to remember the pause, because otherwise it's sports car esports racing, which is a bit tough to say. And on that note, we'll just stick with sports car esports news. As many people will know, followers of Torah Racing and members thereof, we have been the official home of the British GT Esports Championship for a good number of years now. First using Project Cars 2 and then moving over to Forza Motorsport 6, I think, was the first.
6, yeah. We used Forza 6 for the first Winter Series.
Yeah, and then went on to 7. And we've seen growth upon growth upon growth with Britain's premier sports car championship. And this year, we can now officially announce we are now also the official esports partner for Butte Motorsport, which brings you the GT Cup Championship, and we will have the official esports GT Cup series coming to you later this year. More details on that will be brought out in due course. GT Cup will be putting out, in fact, if you hunt online, you should probably hopefully find a fantastic press release about this, and also a little video too. Oh, we should have got Phil on. He could have told. He could have waxed lyrical about how awesome it's going to be. But I shall basically say, expect this to be a series which, for those who are bedding in to esports racing here at Torah, want to get used to some competitive GT multi-class racing, this is definitely the series you want to get involved in. It will be two classes, the GTO and GTA, which effectively is the top and tail of the GT Cup format. So GTO is, for those not au fait with the series, is effectively GT3, and GTA is fundamentally production-based sports cars that have been lightly modified to participate, some more than others. When you think that we will have a 1997 or a 2005 BMW M3, so that's the E36 or E46, mixing it with a Ferrari 360 CS, the Lotus Elise 111S, the Nissan 350Z or 370Z, and a 2004 Porsche 911 996. All racing together, and possibly the KTM Crossbow R is in there as well. But more details on official car lists and everything will come in due course. Suffice to say, we are very, very proud to be partnering with GT Cup to bring this series to you. Obviously, we have worked with them before. We brought the LMP3 Cup last year, which was hugely popular, and they supported it incredibly well, obviously providing cups and taking the winners down to Brands Hatch to have photos and have a chat with the guys down there and obviously see the racing. So expect the same level of involvement this year for GT Cup on Forza Motorsport 7.
Yeah, we've definitely tried to make this series its own thing. Something that's not going to be extremely similar to our British GT Esports series, which fundamentally has a similar program, but we're going to completely different tracks. We have completely different car lists for the lower classes and the two individual series. So I think it's going to be an interesting series whenever everything's said and done. But again, more information about that when it becomes available in next couple months.
In fact, I'll just run over. I'm not going to run over Jordan at all. I'm just going to jump to. So mean. I'm just going to jump to Jordan actually, because of course,
should we slow down?
We had the other week a off the grid internal test of these cars to get some imagery and stuff like that. Now these, as Jordan well knows, as everybody knows here, these media days do not go the same way as they do in real life. There tends to be a biblical amount of shenanigans, shall we say. But Jordan, you were...
Shenanigans is a good word.
Shenanigans is a great word. Jordan, you were obviously taking part in the GTA class, which is new to Tora in its entirety. How did you... Obviously, we know the car builds aren't final. The BOP isn't 100% done. But as a general kind of feel for the cars, how did you feel it was being in that class?
Yeah, it was pretty good. I must say I'm not usually the biggest fan of either GT class racing or even production kind of modified racing like we've had in the past on Tora. But no, considering I only really knew that I was going to be jumping into that private test about, 10 minutes before it started?
Pretty much.
It really didn't take me long to get a feel for the car. The car felt good. As you said, the builds aren't final or anything, so there's a couple of things that needed ironing out. But on the face of it, it's really enjoyable to drive. I was a bit worried that, as you alluded to, there was this preconception that it would be quite a similar thing to British GT, but there's very much a different feel to it and quite exciting differences between the two. So, it's going to be really fun. I'm going to have to give it a go when the season comes around.
You heard it here first. We might even peel him out of his IndyCar long enough to do that.
NASCAR.
But probably not.
NASCAR. But maybe not. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm the one you got to peel out of an IndyCar. What are you
talking
about? I don't know. You're all melding into each other over that side of the office. It's getting a bit...
I'm not American yet.
It's all getting...
Okay.
Who said we will accept you?
It's all getting a bit scary. I don't know. How's your pole vaulting these days, Jordan?
Don't worry. There's this thing called a plane.
Do you want to go?
So never mind.
Do you want to start?
Jordan's alright. He's not a bad hombre.
I was going to make a comment like that, but I didn't think it was going to be suitable, and then you just went straight in.
Anyway, let's crack.
Went straight to go. Didn't collect $100. Just.
Sometimes we talk about esports news, but the
straight
rest
to Jay or more.
We like to make fun about the leaders of other countries. So GT Cup coming in the summer. We really, really are excited about this. That basically means we are the official esports partners for the two top sports car championships in the country. There you go.
Your country, not mine.
That's what I said. Yeah.
I was going to say, we need to be a little bit more specific than that.
So BTCC, if you want to get in touch and talk to us about your touring car needs. Anyway, and of course, a big thank you to Phil Reed, who's overseeing the development of GT Cup from our side, plus with our fantastic development team behind the scenes, and to Chris Thorne at Butte Motorsport, who is incredibly enthusiastic and in his involvement with our esports activities. Gentlemen, we must move on to more general
Forza news.
Forza news.
You want to do Forza news?
Forza news.
I'm just going to prepare myself for this because I feel like I didn't quite build up enough to the onslaught of
We'll get there. Let's just start the general stuff and then we'll dive
into the monthly rant.
Ben, please take the lead on this.
Okay, so another month means that another Forza update. Unlike last month, we did have some updates to things. First of all, our new car, free to everyone this time, was the 2017 Ferrari GTC4 Lusso, which is the
the Ferrari FF. That's not.
It's the Ferrari FF, just the updated version. But we also got the Ferrari FXK Evo as well. That was gifted to all players. You couldn't just download it like the typical Spotlight car. So if you haven't checked your gifts yet, make sure to do that, Forza players. You'll have a nice Ferrari waiting for you.
Do you know what the FF stands for?
I'm just going to mute the mic.
No, this isn't. This isn't Mitsubishi's and the FQ. Trust me. That,
okay,
that is what
fast, I'm Fast Freddy Spencer.
I'm 99% certain. I heard this on Top Gear the other day, and I'm 99% certain it is either Forza Ferrari or for Ferrari. So it was the Ferrari for Ferrari.
Again, this is not named the car the Ferrari.
Yeah, but where the four stands, obviously, because it was four-wheel drive. See.
Yeah. Anyway, there were some big updates to Forza 7 this week, or this month, excuse me. There was the paint space updates.
Exciting.
Which, yes. So for those who don't venture into the custom livery route of Forza that often, what the update brought were a couple of different light settings that were greatly needed. Before the update, whenever you were applying series vinyls to the car, you could really see the car that well just because the lighting was a little bit off. We've had that fixed now. There are four new settings that you can choose from. One is highlights, one's low light, one is sunset, and one is sunrise that players can cycle through for whenever they want. It's also given us the option to do a full like camera control in the paint booth and as well as in the Forza garage itself. So the main Forza menu, you can actually move around in that more than what you were able to do before. There's also an update to Force Feedback for the wheel users. And then there was a lot of drama. So with the update, there came a new glitch that pretty much
drama,
whenever cars...
1.5. Installed. Sorry.
Don't throw me off. So basically, a new glitch was introduced that... one of the things that they fixed in the update was... the way that cars collided with certain objects on the track. But when they updated that, they actually made it so that whenever cars go into the pit lane, when they do this, they're under player control anymore, the cars will basically run into each other, which normally isn't a big deal. However, and I've seen this happen a couple times, if you're right behind someone, you can literally push their car past their pit box and their car will not pit at all. Or you can actually physically spin their car out, and because they have no control over the car when that happens, their race is pretty much over. They can't move after that. So obviously the Forza community didn't exactly like this update. There are other couple things that were also glitched during the update, which Turn 10 was able to fix pretty promptly, but the new pit glitch was something that they haven't been able to fix yet. We have gotten word from Turn 10 through some official channels that they are working on that, so hopefully that will be part of the new update coming up later next month, which we know is pretty much... like there will be an update next month. Whether or not the fix for the pits will be involved in that, we don't know yet, which makes me nervous. As you probably saw on my Twitter, I actually had to postpone the beginning of the task car season because with the pits not working at Daytona, because this glitch affects all the pits in the entire game, if we can't use the pits, then it pretty much becomes a race of follow the leader, which kind of ruins the whole point of racing at Daytona. So we decided to postpone a month just to make sure that we have the update. Well, we possibly have the pit fix in place before we start the season. We were able, actually, though, to turn lemons into lemonade and actually develop a tune that actually lets us do some legitimate, like, restrictor plate style racing at Daytona by messing with the tune of the car a little bit. Which Jordan was there for that test. We had a lot of fun doing that.
It was awesome. Not really good progress.
Yeah, we actually went three wide at one point, and no one died.
Yeah.
Until
and I was involved.
Then people died. but that's beside the point. So hopefully they'll get that pit update fixed very promptly. But that's very kind of promptly. It. Forza 7 update. Moving on to Forza Horizon 4, because they also had an update. They're introducing their new cars for their car pack every week, which I kind of like what Horizon's been doing with this, where it's basically two new cars every week instead of getting them all at once, which is what Motorsports has been doing for a while now. like the two cars that are new this past week. I don't remember what new cars for this week are, but the ones from past week was the 1959 Cadillac Eldorado Blitzer convertible, which is hilarious, and the 2018 TVR Griffith, which we would have rather had in Motorsports, but that's beside the point. There's also, last week, we had Final Fantasy cars introduced into the game.
Well, at least it's in Horizon and not Motorsports.
At least it's on Horizon and not Motorsports.
Yes, I will give them that.
The only really other thing from the Forza Horizon update that we really talked about is that there's a new Horizon Store skill streak, which basically the entire thing is to build your highest skill chain as high as you possibly can. That's kind of it, really. As far as Forza Horizon go, it doesn't really serve the whole sim racing thing as much as something that Forza Motorsport 7 does. We just cover them because it's a Forza game and they're really popular in the community. But anyway.
Really must not do. And it's a good game, to be fair.
Anything to add?
It is a great game.
In fact,
it is a really good game.
It has been winning awards quite a bit.
So, I'm not saying that it's not a good game. I'm just saying that we don't cover it in depth so we can do Forza Motorsport 7 for obvious reasons.
You know what else gets a lot of awards? Project Cars 2. And we all know how we feel about that.
And mic drop. Anyway.
Bit of taste in the mouth there.
Don't get me wrong. Single player mode in Project Cars 2, I absolutely love.
On PC.
On PC.
On any platform, single player mode.
Project Cars 2 is perfect as long as you're playing with yourself.
Yeah, it's just that the multiplayer on the console is a bit broken.
Yes.
Yeah.
12 people. No more?
Yeah. If you can even get them to connect.
But anyway, we talked about this before on the show. We should probably keep going with more sim racing games.
Yeah, that horse is well bolted. In other news, let's talk about... I don't know. Let's stay on the Oh Dear news for a little bit. So we've had some Oh Dear Falls news. Let's go for some Oh Dear Assetto Corsa Competizione news. Update 6 has been delayed again.
Oh dear.
Not 100% sure as to why it's been delayed this time, but I think we briefly touched on it last month, actually, that the update that was supposed to be bringing the NSX GT3 and, I believe, Monza has been put back again. This will still, of course, be bringing you Monza, but also... we'll be bringing two Nissan GTRs, both of which effectively look the same, just with slightly different aero. I can't get excited about that. The annoying thing is, I actually really want to play ACC. I just don't want to have to get the computer to do it.
I might give it a go at some point. I'm going to have to, because it's looking very promising.
The thing is, we say, oh, it's not coming to console. The never say never part of me. In fact, I'm pretty certain I saw some comment back along, because it's now a year since they announced it.
Really? Already?
So that's, it's come a long way, and it does look very, very good. Very good.
And they have, as you said, they've never said that it won't come to console. And we know how long after the PC launch that the first Assetto Corsa came to console, so it's possible. We have hope.
And what's quite cool is that another title, and the other reason why I'm sort of thinking about it, another title that forever has been PC based only, Kartcraft, which is as someone who, you know, did karting for quite a long time, it looks utterly unbelievable.
It's very good. It's very good.
Utterly beautiful. And they've been working on it. The guys developing that have been working on it for such a long time. So to see it, like, you know, be out on Steam and everything is very, very cool.
I happen to know somebody who is in direct... Hang on. I completely lost my train of thought. I know somebody who directly worked on the project.
Yeah.
Yep. His name is Gary Carlton. I've had a chance to work with him. I've had a chance to meet with him. I've had a chance to race with him. I don't want to race against him again because he just made me look bad in a 15-lap race.
One of those. And yeah.
One of the, like, he... I think he was actually racing in a world champ or the KZ World Championship for a couple of years, but I know he directly had a hand in developing how the handling model is on that game.
Wow.
And it is very good. It is very good. Even though it's only in early access, it's very, very good. Mm. I can't wait to see how it improves.
And I have started to hear rumours coming out that is now coming to next-gen consoles as well.
I have heard many rumours like that, yes, and if that's making me very excited.
Yes, if that happens, I will need to sit in a dark room for a little while because that would be just so cool.
Torakart Championship?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. No, I'm really, really cool. It'd be brilliant. So cool. And it's a level, you know, it's a level of, it's an element of motorsport that I don't think has ever been very well replicated in games. I know certain titles have had, like, supercarts, and I know GT6 had some karts in it.
The current one hasn't been in there as well. GT Sport.
But I don't...
It's never really been captured properly at all.
No, it hasn't.
Like, it's always kind of been just, oh, look, we have karts. Oh, look, they handle, like...
Scary things.
Trash.
Scary things. In all honesty, nothing like a kart. The closest thing to a kart that we've gotten has actually been on Project Cars.
And even that was pretty...
Well, the thing is,
it was okay, but I mean, there were some bad things.
This is the thing I've noticed with karts on games. Everybody expects a kart to handle like a car. It does not.
No, it does not at all.
And whenever they put a shifter kart in the game, everybody automatically expects it to handle like a car. They don't realize that you have to literally drive a kart with the throttle, especially one with that much power.
All the
steering wheel does is make sure that you're not going to hit the grass. That's pretty much it. And you pitch the direction of it. And then you hit the accelerator and just power slide through. Exactly. That's it.
And anyone who's done indoor karting will absolutely know that that's the case, because indoor karting is like doing the ice racing that Olivier Panis does. Basically,
I used to been love that. In too long. It's so good.
The first corner at the kart circuit I used to work at was a really long right hander, a bit like turn three at Barcelona. So you could, and you had a full length run up to it along the pit straight, and then just literally just pitch it in. The back end steps out, and you're just like, you're just throttle turning, you know, just steering with the throttle all the way through in a constant drift through the first corner. Oh, I loved it.
That's the kind of racing we need in sim racing.
Yeah, it was so.
What about Outlaws, anybody?
Oh yeah, that would be great. That's the other thing we need to get on consoles, like. Soon, I know. I've seen how good dirt racing is on iRacing. I want to do that. Can I do that?
Oh, it's amazing on iRacing. I can vouch for that much. I've been really getting into that a lot lately, actually. But I mean, in reality, if you look at while we're talking about games that haven't been included properly or haven't been done in a while, the last game that was done was back for the 2002 World of Outlaws season on PlayStation 2.
Oh my god.
Oh wow.
By a game developer called Ratbag, which only developed literally three games, and then they went out of business.
Oh.
But every game that they produced, everybody ranted and raved about. I mean, you can even still go on, if you still got your PlayStation 2, fire up the old game, and it still holds up to even the type of racing you experience now. The only thing that's not realistic is the crashes. But...
Yeah, most games don't have realistic crashes. So.
Jordan, hasn't NASCAR Heat got dirt track in it, or am I imagining that?
Heat 3, yeah. I I was trying to convince everybody to let me talk about Heat 3 in this month.
I'm being kind.
I only just picked up Heat 3 in the last week when they released their 2019 update, and I am very pleasantly surprised with it. I liken it a lot to what you said, Matt, about the Grand Tour game. If you don't think it's something that it isn't, it's a lot of fun. Like, there's no question it's arcade, it's not Forza, it's not Assetto Corsa or anything like that, but it is really good fun, and it's got dirt racing in it, and I now understand why it's called NASCAR Heat, because no other game has ever made my steering wheel as warm as that game. I have to have a fan facing the steering wheel to keep it from overheating. But it is a lot of fun, and I would love to see dirt racing like that style, dirt oval racing in some other titles for console, please. Forza.
I will admit, I got NASCAR Heat 3 strictly for the dirt aspect of it.
It's really good.
It's not bad. It's not fantastic, but it's not bad. And it is kind of Mickey Mouse-ish with, because they do the format similar to what a NASCAR race is, as opposed to dirt track racing.
There are some inaccuracies.
I digress. If you want to do dirt racing and you want to do it via the console, and late models are your thing, go get NASCAR Heat 3.
For once, we can recommend NASCAR Heat 3, everybody. Yeah. We never thought that day would happen, but here it is.
If you don't want to delve the money into iRacing to get yourself a quality PC, to get yourself a quality wheel to go through the experience and everything, go ahead, get yourself an Xbox, PlayStation, whatever your format is that they have the game available for. Get that and go race a late model.
I was trying to think off the back of my head, because you said about NASCAR and you said about arcade. I'm trying to rack my brain, because I'm waiting for my retro console to turn up. Now, I know that there's quite a few NASCAR games on it.
Yeah.
What was the... I know it's got Daytona in the title. What's the rest of the title? It's quite an old NASCAR game.
That's way old, then.
Hang on.
I think it's just... It had to be Daytona 500. Is that the one that had the theme song there?
Or Daytona USA?
That's the one.
Yeah, that's Daytona it. Yeah. USA. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to playing. Right. Just to give an indication, right? Okay. I'm not selling it, but I'm not sponsored by it or anything. I have bought a retro console that has in the region of 40,000 games on it, ranging from the very, very earliest stuff all the way up to PS1. Which basically means I have no free time. But it also means I have access to some of the best earlier racing games that have graced this great world.
The arcade games.
Well, yeah. So with one of the sort of plus points of this, because we have actually got time.
We are quite off track.
We have got time, so I'm just going to fire up. So. In buying this console, you get this app, which you can probably just hear. Listen to that. How retro is that? Isn't that cool?
Oh, wow. Immediately, like, de-aged.
I'm just turning out that, mate, you have no idea.
I'm starting to get flashbacks, man.
You have no
idea. My beard
idea.
Is regressing back inside my face.
You don't have to. Shut up.
I do. I'll send you a picture.
I don't need you sending me pictures, mate.
Let's not do that, Jordan.
Let's not. So the app that you get with this, it doesn't have the 40,000 games, but it has many, many thousands of games. Some of which, in fact, quite a lot.
I don't think there actually has been 40,000 games created for any console.
Oh, no. This is across all consoles.
Oh,
okay. In that case, then yeah, I think we've blown past.
To give you an idea of the consoles it has on it, it has a range of Amigas. It has an Atari 2600, an Atari 7800, Dreamcast, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, Jaguar, Lynx, MAME. MS-DOS, something like that, MSX, Nintendo 64, the Panasonic Reel, the PC Engine, PlayStation, PSP, Sega CD, Game Gear, Sega Genesis, Sega Master Systems, 32X and Super Nintendo. I have, on an app on my phone, this is, you know, the 12-year-old in me would be absolutely blowing my mind. I have on my phone. I've just got to find it. Bear with. If I can find, get it to load properly. Oh,
Tor Radio, where we sometimes talk about sim racing news.
Shut up.
Sometimes we get live action news that we have to put in a little bit of filler with a little muffled conversation.
I have access to games like Micro Machines V3.
Oh my god!
Oh yes! Tora Championship, come on!
Historic racing to a whole new level.
So just going down into kind of like the Fs. So I think you know where I'm going with this. Formula 1 97, Formula 1 98, Formula 1 99, Formula 1 2000. Ford Racing, which is very much a NASCAR-based
game. Wow!
Ford Racing!
Very much a NASCAR-based game. This is all the stuff on the PlayStation. I have EA F1 2000.
Ooh.
Okay, yeah. That's actually the first F1 game I really got into. Actually, no, sorry. The 1999 one that was made by a different producer.
On the Mega Drive, I have... I'm pretty certain I've got Le Mans somewhere. I have a Le Mans game, but there's also Lotus 2. You have like, and you've got all the Grand Prix games, the first Toka Touring cars, the second Toka Touring cars. You know,
I know. And those this, were the
literally
games.
The only reason I'm literally the only reason I'm talking about this is because we're talking about NASCAR and arcadey stuff, and that's why. It's made me deliriously happy just with the app. I cannot wait to have the proper console with a controller and really sort of get to grips with these old games again. Because one thing I've learned, because I did some laps in Toka 2, which was based on the 1998 season. I did some laps on my phone. I can't tell you how difficult that is, but it's terrifyingly difficult. But after a few bits of testing laps, one thing I realised was that gameplay outdoes graphics every time. If a game plays well, and
definitely,
you believe what you're playing, it doesn't matter if the graphics look old at all.
Yeah.
No, it really doesn't.
The case in point I always use is the first racing game that I ever played, which was Jeff Crammond's Grand Prix 4.
Oh, beautiful.
I still play that game. Mm. You might have seen on Twitter last year that I actually played it with a Thomas the Tank Engine controller.
Yes.
But nevertheless, it is.
Can you, Jordan, can you repost that, please? Because
we
need to make this video go viral because it's unbelievable.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I completely forgot about that video.
Check the Tora Twitter page momentarily, listeners, to have a look at that wondrous occasion. But as we were saying, Grand Prix
driving
Grand Prix
a Formula 1 car while fumbling Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, there's a clickbait YouTube title. that's going up. Anyway.
Time on Tora Test Track.
There we go, that's next month sorted. Spoiler alert. Anyway, yeah, the point being that Grand Prix 4 was still very much a really fantastic title, and it's a lot of people still play it. It's, the physics engine is fantastic for its time.
Mm.
It's got a driver editor.
True.
Shock horror. Yeah. Your point is exactly right. Graphics aren't the be-all and end-all. It's about the gameplay.
Absolutely.
The Thomas the Tank Engine controller.
I have to wonder, you say the physics are on spot. What are the physics on a Thomas the Tank
Do you know what? Surprisingly, I didn't crash a lot. Like, I know I had a couple of assists on, obviously. I mean, I don't think the game was intended to be driven seriously with Thomas the Tank Engine's whistle.
Bar, for God's sake.
Yeah, but the throttle was progressive. It worked.
No, I want full Thomas or no Thomas. I don't want any of this in betweeny rubbish.
Yeah, exactly.
You should have seen the points change.
Give it the full.
So
basically, what you're saying is when next time you're going all out in a Taz car race, I'm giving it the full Thomas.
Just in the background, you'll just hear the Thomas the Tank Engine theme tune just playing at ridiculously high levels.
Oh my gosh, we're having too much fun at the expense of this.
Anyway. There's my new game attack. Anyway,
what we should say actually, because you touched on it then, Tora Test Track, ladies and gentlemen, one of the features of the Tora Radio Show, which we're sorry to say, obviously, with the influx of esports racing news and general Tora bants that occurs on this podcast now.
Considering we just spent 10 minutes talking about Thomas the Tank Engine, case in point. Yeah.
gee, we kind of did. We are bringing back the Tora test track, but in a new and unique way. And actually, Lewis and Jordan, you are both obviously perfectly placed to talk about this, so please tell us about Tora test track.
Well, Jordan, you've been doing the early work of this, so I'll let you go ahead and take the reins on this part.
Well, dear listeners, after you've gone to Twitter to have a look at me lapping Monza and with Thomas the Tank Engine, you can go to the Tora YouTube channel and see me lapping Monza, not with Thomas the Tank Engine, but in Niki Lauda's 1976 Ferrari for the first episode of the revived Tora test track. The segue for doing this month was that a couple of days ago, I believe on the 22nd, it was Niki Lauda's birthday. So to commemorate the legend that is Niki Lauda, I decided to take the 76 Ferrari around for a couple of laps, give a little bit of a history lesson, much in the style of what Lewis used to do with the series. And yeah, hopefully in the next couple of months, me and Lewis can keep it going again, because it's quite a fun project.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. We did experiment early on with some video aspect of it, which, to be honest with you, I think the video aspect of it was a lot better than what we did before. And with us pushing this content over to the YouTube video side of things, you can actually see what we're doing, maybe get a little bit more immersion with it, where you see the car go around. If you actually saw any particular car go around the racetrack that we do, hopefully it'll trigger some flashbacks for you and everything like that. So, but unfortunately for me, because I live in Florida and all the racing in Florida happens at the beginning of the year, anytime that we're doing the test track for the first quarter of the year has strictly gone to Jordan now, because I believe the next one that we're going to do for March, I'm going to be at Sebring, so unfortunately I won't be able to participate on that one, so Jordan's going to go ahead and do that one.
And I have something good planned.
I hope you do. And I'm hoping in April I can finally do the test track that I promised all our listeners back in January of 2018.
Wow.
Of the car that we were going to do, which is, actually, I promised it back in December of 2017.
Oh, blimey.
So we're going to do the Penske Racing Mark Donohue Lola T70 that won the Rolex 24 at Daytona, even though at the time it wasn't called the Rolex 24 at Daytona, it was just 24 Hours of Daytona. The car of which got hijacked on the side of the road, got stripped for parts, ended up having to buy a whole new one, and that car no longer exists, blah, blah, blah. So, but that's the car we're going to do.
Very, very excited to see this. I'm really, really pleased we've managed to put this together, and it just shows how committed everyone at Tora is to producing excellent content consistently and regularly, and fun stuff for you guys to see.
I could so we're going to add a visual aspect to this.
Better, but you know what I mean. Yes. Couple of bits more news. We have Dirt Rally 2.0 in our hands, but because it only really came out a couple of days ago, and we're all very busy people, as you've probably ascertained from the content of the show, we haven't really been able to give it our full undivided attention as of yet. So what we will be doing is saying that our initial impressions are very good, but we will be giving a more thorough look at Dirt Rally 2.0 in the next Tora Radio show. So look forward to that in March. Couple of little bits of extra news now as we're getting close to the end of the show, scarily.
Blimey.
I know. Well, if we will talk about Thomas the Tank Engine for 10 minutes, pretty much what happened.
Hey, that was radio gold. I don't know what
that was. Yeah, it was actually. Yeah, I'm pretty proud of it.
You can be proud of it all you want. Jordan's the one that did all the work.
Yeah. Couple of extra bits of news from Gran Turismo Sport, because we are nothing if not all inclusive.
It's 2019 after all.
It is. Yeah. The all-new Toyota Supra will be making its race game debut in Gran Turismo Sport. I'm not wearing my surprise face.
Actually, you you need to backtrack a bit there, because they've had the brand new Toyota Supra as a race version in that game for quite some time now. Two different versions of it.
If you didn't interrupt me, I was just about to say, of course, the concept and race and conceptual race version has been in Gran Turismo Sport for quite a while, but the finished actual proper actual car,
actual.
If this was Battlestar Galactica, it would be Toyota Supra actual.
Oh god.
BMW Z4 actual.
Good grief.
This has been Matt Hunter actual. Supposed to fake.
I'm actually going to leave this.
Shut up.
We're actually going to end the show soon, so you can actually leave that.
Has not currently been in any racing game. But it is now. On the 5th of March, so next week, we will have the new Toyota Supra.
Yay!
Speaking of Toyota Supra, for the motorsport side of thing, in the real, actual world, the Toyota Supra has made its racing debut in NASCAR, where it doesn't look like a Toyota Supra at all.
It looks horrible.
No, that's a travesty and should never have been on.
Actually, that said, I may have discredited the Toyota Supra NASCAR when it was first unveiled, but actually seeing it with racing liveries, it doesn't look as bad. I mean, I would still rather look at a wall, but I mean, it's not as bad.
It's not a Toyota Supra. It doesn't even remotely look like one. The headlight sticker is the only thing that remotely looks like it, and even still, it doesn't look like it.
It's a Toyota Camper.
No, it's a Toyota box. That's what it is.
But this is based on the BMW... Now, this is the really cool thing. This is based on the BMW Z4, the new one, isn't it? And I read an article, that actually showed all the points around the car, obviously under the skin, where you can still find all the BMW number tags and where it's machined into various body parts and stuff like that.
Oh, nice!
Yeah.
So in other words, you buy a brand new Toyota Supra, you can go on yourself a little treasure hunt.
Yeah. Yeah, you really can.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. At least they let you have an adventure with a new car.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
One little tiny bit of news that we are going to quickly cover just before we go. Is that, and I'm not sure how I feel about this, Codemasters has signed an esports partnership with the Motorsport Network. You know, the network that seems to own everything. No, they don't own us.
That's what you think.
The only word I can sort of think to call it is a juggernaut.
Sort of more
thinking in the Vinnie Jones X-Men style-y rather than anything positive.
Anyway.
Yeah, so we don't kind of really know what that is going to entail. I'm going to guess there'll be loads of social media content and pointless stuff being bandied all over the internet like they seem to do with all of it. Good.
There has been one good thing that's come out of it, though.
What's that?
Is that,
don't say that.
The agreement... What? Sorry?
Don't worry. Go on. What are you saying?
In the quote-unquote announcement, they made a lot of emphasis on Dirt Rally 2.0, obviously, with the game just launching. But it also said that the arrangement would also cover other Codemasters-owned IP titles, which could perhaps hint at a new Grid game.
I think it'll be more... They're more talking about F1 there.
I'm not sure. Well, I mean, that would be logical because, you know, but then F1 Esports is its own kind of entity. Is that really partnered with Motorsport? We don't know. But if we have to have this to get a Grid sequel, I'm okay. I'm okay with that.
Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. It makes me uneasy because also Motorsport Network seems to own basically everything, and it just makes me a bit uneasy. As an independent group that's trying to do big things for esports racing, it just bothers me slightly. But it's the business world. It's how this is all going. And on that terrible disappointment,
Wow, things got really sad there at the end. No, considering, like, not 20 minutes before we were talking about Thomas the Tank.
Well, next month, ladies and gentlemen, we'll of course be back again for more esports goodness. We will be talking about we'll probably have a bit of a preview for the British GT, which is coming up in April. For the details and all that will be, of course, starting in late March. So more exciting racing coming. Awful lot to get involved in. I think we should be including a review of Sebring, actually.
You might could.
I'm pretty sure. I'll have to check the dates. But I'm pretty certain that that will be the case. Now, I've been asked behind the scenes. We're going to do a little check. We're going to do a little change, rally. So I'm not going to say goodbye.
Oh
no! I've called it. Okay. So we're going to sign off now. I've been Lewis Satterley. That's been the president and your host, Matt Hunter. And that over there has been Jordan Choo Choo Groves.
Oh, no.
And this has been the Tour Radio Show on RS1. Yes. Okay, sorry. I do apologize. RS1, it's my first time doing it, so I do apologize. And bye for now. Thank you for joining us, and see you next time.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.